Hey, and welcome to The Living Stone, a digital ministry from Greystone Baptist Church in Raleigh, North Carolina. On this 12th Sunday after Pentecost, Pastor Chrissy was joined by Susan Gardner for a conversational message titled, Who Do You Say That I Am? Here's Sarah with our scripture reading.
Matthew 16:13-20. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he sternly ordered the disciples, Do not tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to worship this morning. Today, I am sitting here with a dear friend, Susan Gardner, a church member at Greystone, and Susan has a story to share with us today, and so we're going to get to that in just a moment. A few moments ago, you heard the scripture reading from the Gospel of Matthew. You heard that story, that which is a foundational text for the Christian church, when Peter professes his faith in Jesus by saying that he believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Now, this is a pretty famous profession of faith. If you come from the Roman Catholic tradition, then you would know that this is the foundation upon which the tradition of apostolic succession comes. So there is a strong connection between the current pope and this ancient moment when Jesus said to Peter, You are the rock upon which I will build my church. But actually, if you remember in the text, Jesus actually says, You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So as Protestants, we don't necessarily affirm that line from Peter to the current pope, but we do have our own ways of setting up hierarchies and setting up people in positions of power in our religious communities. And we also remember this text, and we remember it as though Jesus says to Peter, Peter, on you I will build my church. But in the text, Jesus says, on this rock. And so I wonder, what is this rock that Jesus is talking about, if it isn't just Peter himself? You know, it's really interesting that in Matthew's retelling of this story, it's sandwiched between some pretty epic mistakes that Peter makes that help us know that Peter wasn't some perfect disciple that always got it right, and so that it should be no surprise that the affirmation comes so naturally from Peter's lips. Just before the story that we read today, Peter is a group of disciples that Jesus calls out as saying, You have such little faith. And then immediately after the reading for today, Peter starts to get in the way of Jesus' mission, refusing to accept the next steps that Jesus is saying are necessary as he follows God. And so Jesus says to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block. And so in just a matter of verses, the rock upon which Jesus is going to build the church becomes the stumbling block that then has to go behind him. So who is this Peter upon whom Jesus is building the church? And as I ask that question, I think maybe it's the wrong question. Maybe it's not who is Peter. Maybe it's not upon whom is Jesus building the church. Maybe the right question for us today is, what is it that Jesus is using as a foundation for the church? So when we look at the story as a whole, and we follow the dialogue within Matthew's gospel, we begin to notice that before Jesus bestows upon Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, Peter answers a very important question. Jesus asks the disciples, Who do people say that I am? Remember, Peter is part of that group of disciples. Who do they say that I am? Jesus wants to know. The disciples reply, "Well, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." "But who do you say that I am?" Jesus asks. And Peter responds, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And Peter knew this not because John or Elijah or Jeremiah or any of those other prophets had told him that it was true. Peter knew this because he had in his own life, with his own eyes, witnessed the power of God at work in the life of Jesus of Nazareth. He had seen the mute begin to speak, the maimed whole, the lame walking, and the blind seeing, or at least that's what Matthew says in chapter 15. Peter had seen all this happen through the healing ministry of Jesus of Nazareth. And so the confession of Peter is unique from the group confession. Stating the many fathers and the prophets of faith, Peter's confession is born out of his own experience. And Peter is the first one within the group to have the courage to step forward and to share his own testimony. And so when I'm reading the text this week, and I'm asking the question, what is it upon which Jesus builds the church? What is the foundation of the church of Christ? The answer seems to be the testimony of Peter, the one who had the courage to bear witness to the work of God in his life. And so today I'm here with my friend Susan, and she, like Peter, has the courage to come together and publicly, in front of our church, share her testimony, share her story of how God is at work in her life. And Susan is going to bear witness to her own answer to that question. Who do you say that I am? Susan, why don't you tell us a little bit about your story?
Well, God is my rock. God has provided me a chance, a second chance at life, and to be a living stone, which we all are here at Greystone. We are living stones.
That's right.
And I'm just so thankful for the opportunity he has given me and for the opportunity you have given me for me to share my story of his healing power and his grace and his mercy.
So tell us a little bit about, you've had some experiences recently, since the last time we were able to gather as a community of Christ, as a church. So since we've seen you, you have been through a lot. And you mentioned God's healing in your life. I wonder if you might tell us your experience of God's healing. What happened to you?
Well, I have been through quite a bit since the beginning of February. There were a couple of weeks there that I just did not feel well, and I was supposed to be getting on an airplane on February the 18th with a group of people from my church at the lake. We were going to Israel. And that Thursday before, I had not been feeling well, and I just thought, I'm just not able to go. I just don't think I should. So that morning, Friday morning on Valentine's Day, I went to see my doctor, and he did some blood work and stuff. And that afternoon, he called me back and said, "Susan, I really want you to go to the hospital." He said, "You're alone." He said, "I don't want anything to happen to you over the weekend." So that afternoon, I went to the hospital. And the next Tuesday, that late afternoon, early evening, instead of being on an airplane going to Israel, I was going into emergency surgery for a perforated colon. And it all started then. And I was a very, very sick lady. I also had sepsis, which, you know, added to the problem. But the next 6 days, I was completely out of it. I was on about 6 different machines and just not aware of what all was going on and how sick I was. But from what I have been told, God certainly was present every moment of every day. He was present with my surgeons, and I just give him all the praise and the glory.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that we were remembering a few moments ago is the surgeon that visited in the waiting room after your surgery was telling us a little bit about about his experience of being in that operating room with you. And one of the last things that he said to your family and to those friends that had gathered there on that day was that you were in God's hands now. And so all that we could do together was pray. I will never forget that moment. But to watch your family kind of hold you and hand you over to God in a moment of trust, and to hear a doctor say, "She's in God's hands now," was a really powerful moment. And I wonder if, I wonder what that felt like for you to truly be freely and faithfully in the hands of God. Do you remember any of what that felt like for you, or what was that hospital stay like as God was in control of your healing?
Well, when I finally was able to come off all the machines that following Sunday, I was in intensive care probably for another 2.5 weeks. And it is because of all the prayers of family, friends, Greystone people that I don't even know, I know were lifting me up. Mm-hmm. That is what totally got me through. There were days I was scared. I told you, I remember telling you, I was afraid. Mm-hmm. And I remember Blair telling me that, I told her that, you know, one day I wanted to go to heaven, but I wasn't ready yet.
Right.
And apparently God wasn't ready
for
me either.
That's right.
And, but I can just say that prayer has gotten me through this. I had to learn basically how to walk again. Mm-hmm. After being on a ventilator for so many days, I had no voice. And those that know me know that I like to talk, and it was very difficult whispering for a month.
Yeah.
But God sent another surgeon into my life that was able to do a procedure on me that gave me my voice back after a few weeks. And I know that people were praying for everybody that took care of me. And I hope, as I was in intensive care for so many weeks, not able to eat any food. I know I was grouchy at times. Like you said, I was so happy when I got ice chips.
Yes.
But I hope that in some way I relayed my faith in God, knowing that He was taking care of me. I knew it was going to be a long road to recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody I met, I feel like God brought into my life for a reason. And I'm hoping that through our contacts, I was able to have some kind of influence on them in sharing my faith. And I will say my faith and my prayer life have certainly, certainly been strengthened mm-hmm. through all of this.
Yeah. If you're willing to answer, I wonder, what are some of the ways that your faith and your prayer life have changed as a result of this experience?
More consistently, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying my best not to worry and to give everything to God, because He is in control.
Mm-hmm.
I can have my hopes and dreams, but if it's not in His plan, then, you know, His plan is what needs to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of devotion work. I've actually started journaling some.
Mm-hmm.
And just trying to be a witness and just proclaim that God does have healing powers. We all know He doesn't heal everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that because of Roger. But He also was in our very lives present then
mm-hmm.
with him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have to trust that He's got a lot for me to do for Him.
Mm-hmm.
And again, His mercies are new each morning, and I just have to search for them.
Mm-hmm. You know, during the course of your hospitalization, there were a lot of people from this church that were praying for you. And there was one very wise woman who I talked to before one of the times that I went to the hospital to visit with you. And I said vulnerably to her, "I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what the right words are. I don't know what God is doing here. And I don't even know what outcomes to ask for, because this situation is so big." And she said to me, "Well, sometimes you just don't know how to pray. You just hand it over to God and mm-hmm. trust that mm-hmm. God will work for the best." And that became my prayer for you. And And wow, it has been a journey of surprise and joy to see you sitting here. And I remember not long after you went home, we had a text conversation. And you said to me in the text, I don't know how or when, but I know that I need to tell this story. And I know that I need to share my testimony of how God has been good to me. And so when I saw you walk in the church today, it was the first time that I'd seen you since sometime in late February.
Yeah, right after I moved to rehab, I think I had been in rehab one day, mm-hmm. and that's when the order was given that no visitors could come see you.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I was able to see one of my daughters because she worked at the facility that I was in.
Yeah.
But I just felt so for all the other residents and patients who could not see family.
Mm-hmm.
And God upheld me all those weeks that I could not see my other children. They would come to my window and wave to me from the outside. But I just, you know, that was another way God was certainly with me each moment. He got me through all those weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally came home on April 2nd. I had no idea when I left home on February 14th that I wouldn't be walking back into my house until April 2nd.
Right.
And for about a month or so, a month and a half maybe, I had in-home health people come two or three times a week, mm-hmm. occupational and physical therapy and a nurse. And they were a blessing to me. And my prayer was that I would bless them.
Mm.
And that's been my whole story, that through all this, yes, I was certainly blessed, but I also want God to give me the opportunity to bless others.
Mm. Well, that's a powerful witness and a call to each and every one of us. I think to remember everywhere we are, we have an opportunity to be a blessing and to share God's love with whomever is around us. I hadn't thought about that when we were thinking about how to tell your story and how to share the good news of how God has been alive within you. So talk us through a little bit about what's happened in your life since April the 2nd.
Well, I have come a long, long, long way. I had to use a walker.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I had to basically learn how to walk again. And went from that, my PT person tried to get me to use a cane, and I felt very uncomfortable with the cane. And so I asked her, I said, can I try walking without the cane? And she said, well, if you would like to. And so I did, and I think I used the cane for a day.
Mm.
And then I just started walking on my own.
Mm-hmm.
So many people were so gracious to me and brought delicious food to help me get my strength back. That was one thing the doctor said that I really, really needed to work on, you know, my strength and exercising and stuff like that. And so every day I have just gotten stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, been through work that I have done, but it's also been because God is right by my side, mm-hmm. and he's saying, you can do this. You can do this. I'm here with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think? Well, first, let me just affirm that what God has done in your life in terms of physical healing between February the 14th and today is truly miraculous.
It is.
And we give God thanks each and every day that you're here with us and that you're able to bring yourself here and to sit in this chair and to have this conversation with me, and that you have the courage to share it with our entire church community. So number one, we're just overwhelmed with gratitude. And I wonder, you mentioned that your faith is growing and that your prayer life has become more consistent. I wonder if there is a sense yet of how God is calling you forward. What kind of witness is God calling you to share? And if you were to answer the question today in a different way than you did in February, who is it that you say that God is? Who is it that you say that Jesus is? What might that answer be today, given all that you've gone through?
Well, he has always been my Lord and Savior, but I can say that today with much more love and thankfulness and confidence.
Mm-hmm.
He's using me, I think, in just things I say. I've got some folks that I share my faith with that I think have made an impact on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really love cards.
Yeah.
And I love to send cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a new ministry that I have, where I can encourage people.
Yes.
And I just want to focus on being compassionate about others,
mm-hmm.
and hoping that they will come to trust God,
mm-hmm.
with every and anything going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you can do those things, the world around you will be a much better place. We could all certainly use a healthy dose of compassion, a reminder that every interaction is an opportunity to share God's love. And I can tell you from personal experience that those cards, each and every one that you send, is a blessing for the person on the other end, the person who finds it in their mailbox. That's been something that I have seen happen during COVID, when we haven't been allowed to be together in the traditional ways. I don't know about you guys, but my mailbox has been a little more full than usual, and not with all the junk mail that I'm used to getting. So that's a very important ministry. And Carolee Brown would definitely echo that if she were here in this room. So if we can support you in that in any way, let us know. Susan, I wonder if there's anything else from your story, from your testimony, or from your life that you'd like to share with us today.
I just want to thank you. I had always, you know, back in February, had thought of being up in the sanctuary on the, you know, in the pulpit sharing this story and not like in the gathering room. But I just am so, so thankful. It's hard almost just to express in words.
Mm-hmm.
I am thankful that I was able to share my story without being emotional, because I have been very emotional the last few months. You even saw some of that in the hospital. And but just the prayers of people, God heard each and every one, and He continues to hear every word that comes from our mouths. And He knows what we're going to pray for before we ask.
Mm-hmm.
But He's willing, and He listens, and He answers according to His will, mm-hmm. and His time.
Yeah. Wow. Well, Susan, thank you for
who
you are. Thank you for sharing your faith with us. It certainly is beautiful. And thank you for letting us have a little window into your personal life and into your spiritual life. Those are vulnerable things to open up for a congregation. And so I thank you for doing that. You know, Susan, you remind me, and your story reminds me of two things. One is that often we're shy to pray for things because either we don't know what to say or we're afraid to ask, thinking that God has so many things on the plate that our thing might not be big enough. Yours certainly was huge. Don't hear me saying that. But your story reminds me that we truly do need to pray about all things all day. There's a text in Thessalonians, pray continuously, right? In all things, give thanks and pray continuously. And so that is something that I'm taking from your story. And I hope that I can begin to implement that with the same kind of courage that you're modeling today. And the second thing that you remind me of as you sit here and share your story is the power of our individual stories. You called yourself a living stone. And I hope that everybody at Greystone understands themselves in that way. We are each and every one a living stone, and each and every one of us has our own story to tell. And those stories may be different. My experience is certainly not the same as yours, but I can share stories of how God has led me in and out of seasons of trial. And I suspect that everybody watching and listening to your story today can relate. And so one of the things that your story reminds me of, especially as we hold it up against Peter's confession in Matthew's gospel, is that God is working in each and every one of our lives. God is working towards healing and wholeness in so many different ways, sometimes ways that we can name and sometimes ways that we cannot name. But the responsibility that we each have as followers of Jesus is to somehow summon the courage to share those stories bravely and boldly whenever and wherever we can. Because Susan, to your point, you never know whose life you might impact by just being willing to share the testimony and to bear witness to the reality that God is alive and that God is living and doing things, working for healing in our lives, in our community, and in our world. And I really believe that when a group of living stones get together, really big, really cool things happen, things that God gets the credit for. And so I thank you for sharing your story, for being another voice, another stone in that pile that perhaps started with Peter's confession, but that has built up over the ages of folks who are brave enough to bear witness to the work of God in their life and in the world. And so to that, I say thanks be to you and thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.